We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome on in. It is Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. As over the next hour, we'll dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. And listen, last night belonged to Bellator. It was a fight night that UFC had a pretty pedestrian card. I wasn't too much into it. And, you know, the whole night was really centered around Patricio Pitbull and AJ McKee. I mean, they have normally been a Friday night promotion. They centered this one. They put it on, you know, Scott Coker, when he feels like he's got a big one, will put his fights on a Saturday night. And that was the case for this one. And I always say, man, my favorite thing in mixed martial arts and fight, you know, fighting in general, but my favorite thing is seeing a young champion be crowned after a hell of a journey. It's my favorite thing. It's always the best part of it. It feels like the happiest they ever are is winning that first title. There's not so many questions about, do it against this guy, do it against this guy. How impressive a champion are they? They're just that unbridled joy of winning that first belt when a guy gets it done is really, really unbelievable. And honestly, tonight couldn't have gone better for Bellator. Tonight couldn't have gone better for AJ McKee. That promotion feels like they have a legitimate superstar in the making, in their prime, in their sport. And, you know, we had Scott Coker on this week, had a chance to speak with him, and his reign over Bellator, I would say, has been very interesting. You know, it talks a little bit about just the idea that they had to go and spend on free agents just to kind of get people peeking into the curtain and see what was going on with Bellator and their style. But the interesting thing was, you know, his first tenure, a lot of it was these big circusy fights, Chael Sonnen, Fedor, all these guys that they were bringing in to kind of, bringing Shamrock back, Kimbo versus Dada, all these big time spectacles to give, you know, people a little bit of a peek into what their young talent is. And they've been doing a really fascinating thing with having all of these young fighters basically get their entire career to unfold right before you. So, for example, in the UFC, a lot of these guys, you see like Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, a lot of people go to that and they go and fight with 7 fights under the belt, 5 fights under the belt, maybe even more. And then they do all that with the hopes of getting to the UFC. And in the UFC, it's usually sink or swim. I think of a guy like Chase Hooper, who was like in Titan FC at 18 years old, gets the opportunity to go to the UFC, and he's like taking on Alex Caceres in his second fight. It's tough. But Bellator has been doing this thing with a lot of their young fighters, and it hasn't gone perfect for all of them, for sure. You look at a guy like Aaron Pico, who we've spoken to pretty recently, where he had some big, I mean, lost his first pro fight, had some big stumbles, big knockout losses. And everybody thought that the guy was going to be the truth. And maybe he still will be. He's still super young. But AJ McKee is the guy who Bellator had taken from the start. He has gone undefeated this entire run, longest Bellator win streak. And now, after last night, he is 18-0. the featherweight champion, the featherweight Grand Prix champion. Bellator, in a weird way, went back to its roots with the and Scott with Strikeforce as well, but went back to the tournament style, and he comes out on top. And just everything about it was just such a perfect night. You think about the hometown entrance for AJ McKee. It was he felt like a star walking in. He felt like a bigger star walking out. And he takes out a guy in Patricio Pitbull who, had so much credibility to him. And it's been really a long time coming. I mean, this is a guy who was a dual weight champion, has been champion at featherweight forever, has a win over Michael Chandler, who was the ultimate, I would say Michael Chandler probably is the face of Bellator up until tonight, where maybe you could say Patricio Pitbull was the face of Bellator, but I would say it's probably more Michael Chandler, even if Patricio's got the better resume. And now it feels like tonight the face, Patricio's face of Bellator is pretty short-lived, because now it feels like AJ McKee is for sure the face of Bellator. And I mean, just about as perfect a finish as you can get. He hits him with a head kick, drops him, really wobbles him, hits him with a combination, puts him down, steps back and celebrates because he's about to walk off. Ref Mike Beltran doesn't stop it, so he goes for a guillotine choke. And there was some controversy with the stoppage, in that some people thought that AJ McKee basically stopped the fight himself. Like he had Pitbull linked up, and then you could see Pitbull's arm drop like that. So, and as soon as it did, he goes, he's out, and Mike Beltran jumps in and stops the fight. Now, he wasn't asleep, but it did look like, Pitbull was pretty rubbery. Like, it looked like if he didn't let it go and he wasn't out, he was going to be out. And I didn't think, like, he was in any fighting shape once he was let go. It's not like there was this grand protest from him. He was pretty beat up. I mean, he had basically taken a head kick that basically would have knocked most people out, took a combination that looked like it knocked him out, and then was choked to the point of basically going unconscious. It was it was the triple crown for AJ McKee. I mean, it's legendary stuff with what he put forth there. Some on social media comparing it to like Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo. I don't think it's quite that. I don't know if we could quite put it on that level because of just the star power of the UFC. But, and also just Conor's star power was already pretty high when he knocked out Jose Aldo the way he did. But as far as championship performances, it is as good as it gets. And I got to tell you, I loved, Bellator. I loved how it was celebrated, in that it was like confetti. It did, like, AJ McKee said there in his hometown, he's saying that, like, LA, this is what we do, we win championships. It felt like a team winning a championship, like, I always say that, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers get the credit for breaking the Cleveland curse, even though Stipe was the guy to do it first. And, imagine if it kind of had that feel of, like, confetti raining down, all that type of stuff. So AJ McKee was just tremendous tonight. And the interesting thing is going to be, like he said an interesting thing in the euphoria of all of that, where he says, I'm never going to let this belt go. No mention, and I don't expect him to mention the UFC or any of those goals or anything. It's a Bellator broadcast, but it is going to be interesting to see, like, they put all this investment into him. He has been with them now for almost 20 pro fights. Is there ever going to be that itch to go? Is he, and I'm not suggesting, I already want to talk about AJ McKee jumping ship, because, people are talking about they want matchups against Volkanovski and Holloway and Ortega. And it's only natural, because that's been, UFC's just been the most famous promotion for a while. But the interesting thing is going to be, look at it, Bellator does have this light heavyweight division that's, definitely on par with what the UFC has to offer. And then you have this featherweight champion who may go up to lightweight. Lightweight's in a bit of a weird spot right now in the UFC. Could this be a guy who is enough of a face for Bellator MMA that, people will start, going and say, oh, AJ McKee's fighting on tonight. Definitely got to watch it, no matter who he's fighting. think you have a performance like this, that's definitely going to be the case the next time that he goes out there. It's a guy who's had a lot of confidence about himself for a long time. He said he wanted to be the Floyd Mayweather of mixed martial arts. Tonight was a christening-like performance that was worthy of that type of hype, that type of confidence, and all the praise in the world. That's what he deserves. And so it's going to be interesting if this guy does carry that, and if Scott Coker, who is a master of developing talent, and he is a master of bringing in those kind of stars of tomorrow, seeing those guys before anybody else does, he looks like he's created another one. And you know, a lot of that credit goes to AJ and his father and all that type of stuff and all the hard work that they put in, but it's still a true testament to him. Because look, I've definitely been critical of Bellator at times since this run. I'm just like, well, what is the whole point of this? What are they doing? And tonight felt like a night where you think back to like the Madison Square Garden card where they were going for big pay-per-views and all this type of stuff, but tonight just felt monstrous on premium cable, all that type of stuff. And AJ just going out there and having the performance that he did, really unleashing all of his tools, getting it done in the first round, doing it against a guy who, again, just has a lot of credibility. Like, didn't just do it and did it against somebody nobody knows. He did it against a bearer of the torch of the previous era of Bellator. And it felt like there was definitely a passing of the torch, a real taking of the torch from AJ McKee. And it felt like one of those performances where you're just like, I'm always going to remember this with that guy's career, the night that he knocked out Patricio Pitbull. So a big, big shout out to AJ McKee for that performance last night. I think a lot of people were electrified by it. He really, really, really put on a hell of a show. And I think that fans are going to be excited about watching him for a long time. I mean, you're talking, 26 years old? That's nothing in mixed martial arts as far as age is concerned. And, you know, now it's going to feel like the next time he fights is an event. And if he continues to put forth performances like this, every time could feel that way. And I think it's really, tonight felt like one of the more significant nights in Bellator history for sure. Just a real win for them. And a real win for AJ McKee all around. And it'd be interesting to see what they do next. It'll be with him. Where does he go? Because it feels like anything in any direction that they go in can really, really turn to gold. We'll take a quick break here on the show. Be back with more. Get into a little bit of boxing as some news about Canelo Alvarez this week. And where he lies, where he goes, we don't know now, as his planned fight is now dead in the water. So we'll get into a little bit of that. Tobin's Fight Show rolls on right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Let's get into a little bit of boxing. Big news this week, Canelo Alvarez, his fight with Caleb Plant fell through. Huge bummer. Hoping that we were going to be able to see the Undisputed Championship on the line between these guys. And fun style, Caleb Plant. I think it would have been interesting to see if he would have had the skill set to go at Canelo Alvarez. I think he was probably biting off a little bit more than he can chew. Not as an elusive as a fighter as Billy Joe Saunders, you know, has those quick hands, is definitely more of an offensive guy, I would say. But I don't know if he has the power to have Canelo really respect him and keep him off him. But it's still a matchup I want to see nonetheless. I mean, he's still a talented, undefeated champion and is just a super credible opponent. So I was definitely into watching this one. And then all of a sudden, you know, after looking like we were going to get it, just kind of fell through. It's a very weird thing. I mean, we don't really have a great answer, at least known answer from Canelo's side about why the fight. And it does seem like it's a Canelo side thing that they're not happy with everything because, at least according to Caleb Plant's side, it felt like they agreed to every demand, every I, every T. That was there. He told ESPN's Mike Coppinger that Canelo was offered the highest guarantee of his career. He was going to make something like $40 million plus. They wanted upside of gate and pay-per-view revenue. I mean, understandable. That's probably what they're going to get. Rematch clause, they gave it. So he goes, I question whether legacy or money is their real motive. We've been waiting to see. We've been waiting for him to get done with his wedding, shooting a TV show, golf tournament, And now he tried to give him everything he wants to make this fight. That was him to ESPN. It's an interesting one. I don't know. It felt like that was definitely the place that he wanted to go. There's some rumors now about Dmitry Bivol being the other guy that they could go to. And maybe sticking with DAZN. That was the word from Eddie Hearn. Not as into it. And Dmitry Bivol's a good fighter. But I just kind of want to see Canelo finish the race. This has been such a goal, the thing that he set in his mind going into this year. Maybe he's not as hard up for that September 18th date. And we could still get something to happen there and make this happen. I will say this. Look, I joked about this on Twitter, but if they're not going to go with the Caleb Plant thing, if it's not going to happen, and he's still a free agent, he doesn't really have a promotional tie anymore, he's done with DAZN, he's a do whatever he wants, I really don't see why this isn't the good time to do him versus Oscar De La Hoya. I mean, other than the fact that he's going to smoke Oscar De La Hoya, but, I mean, look, Oscar's training for this fight with Vitor Belfort. If you're Triller, and we've been talking about them a lot as far as, like, what they got going on, and, you know, they got their series starting up this week and all that. But if you're Triller and you're looking for, like, the real splash of splashes, now, I don't know if they got this kind of dough. You know, there's been a lot of things about, you know, people rumbling about fighters getting paid and how much damage they took from the Teofimo Lopez, George Kambosos fight not happening. So I don't know if they got the kind of cash to make this happen. But if you're gonna make a splash, you should go all the way into the frog pond, because I think what they should just do is scrap the Oscar De La Hoya Vitor Belfort thing and just offer Canelo a whole lot of cash. You know, don't give some money to Megan Thee Stallion or somebody, you know, all these gazillion huge stars that you bring in there. Maybe, you know, instead of having Snoop on the broadcast, you can save some bucks there. Honestly, I think Triller should go in there and do whatever they can to make Oscar versus Canelo happen as soon as possible. Just forget about the whole thing. There's a couple reasons for it. One, Oscar's already training, okay? Two, it's a rivalry. It's got a story to it. It's got a little bit of freak show, which is kind of their alley. You know, and it's continuing to be that really until they go into any kind of legitimate match, which they don't have yet. And who knows what's going to happen with the Teofimo Lopez and George Kambosos thing. It's close enough to Oscar De La Hoya's date that I wouldn't imagine it being that big of a struggle for him to kick it down the road a week. I mean, how much step-aside money do you have to give to Vitor Belfort? Sorry, Vitor, we're not going to do the fight. And I just think they should do it. I think that if you're going to do it, one, I don't think it's good for Oscar De La Hoya to get any older. Two, at least he's already in a training camp right now. It doesn't, you know, people will say, well, you know, come on, bro. It's Oscar De La Hoya versus Canelo. What are we doing here? And I don't have a great response to that. However, I will say, I did just see Canelo Alvarez fight something called the Turkish Wolf, Avni Yildirim, with a week's training off of COVID-19, smashed him in a couple rounds. Guy had no business being in the ring with him. That's an alleged pro in his prime, you know, or past, a little past his prime. Yeah, Oscar De La Hoya, he's super past his prime. And the only thing that he's been winning rounds with is partying, I guess. But for me, if they're ever going to do this, and he's talking about it, listen, Oscar wants to do it. He says that the fights that he wants, he hopes that this leads to, is Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Canelo Alvarez. I don't really have any interest in seeing him fight Floyd Mayweather Jr. Just saw Floyd Mayweather Jr. not be able to really inflict a lot of pain onto Logan Paul. I don't really have any interest in him fighting Oscar De La Hoya. But Oscar De La Hoya versus Canelo, I'm into. I think it's an interesting one. I do. I'm intrigued by it. Like, if Oscar's going to come back, he should come all the way back. And that's what he said he's been wanting to do the whole time. And I'm just looking at the other options for Canelo right now, and I'm like, all right, if it's not going to be for the Undisputed Championship, fine. You could go Dmitry Bivol. Okay. I mean, I don't know what that really does for mainstream appeal. But, you know, he's a dangerous fighter. He's a champion. He's in another weight class. You're going to another weight class that's a little bit more of a danger than maybe Sergey Kovalev was when he took him on. So, okay, it's you know, it's got something to it. But I just think if you're Canelo Alvarez and you're seeing all these wacky super fights go down and Manny Pacquiao is fighting Errol Spence and, you know, Floyd Mayweather's fighting reality shows, you're the biggest thing in the sport. Why not you get a little bit of spice to it, you know? You know, listen, it doesn't mean you can't go fight for the Undisputed Championship at some other point. Doesn't mean that has to be off the table. But if it's not on the table right now and you just want to make a whole heap of money and beat up a guy who you find annoying and you have a personal vendetta and beef with, why not make this one happen? I think it's an entertaining spot. I think Triller is a great dance partner for it. The timing seems to match up wise. The only thing that really seems to be a big snafu is the vast gap in talent and age. And honestly, is that really something that should stop the fun? Is it? I ask you. Sure, Oscar De La Hoya is not going to win any rounds against Canelo. I think he said something this week, all he has is power. Well, first of all, I don't think that's true. I mean, maybe Oscar De La Hoya thinks that he's a better boxer than Canelo Alvarez. And maybe in his prime, he was. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about rivalries and legacy, you could definitely say that Oscar De La Hoya has the more beloved resume than Canelo Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez has obviously turned into a big blockbuster star in his own right. And yeah, Oscar had a rough ending to his career with some of the losses that he took, but maybe Canelo will too. We don't know. We don't know how this is going to end for Canelo Alvarez when his career is on that part of the side. But for him to say, he's only power, I don't agree with that. I think Canelo's turned himself into a pretty savvy boxer, especially he's very slick for the weight classes that he's been fighting in. And I don't know how much polish Oscar's going to have on those skills when he comes back. Maybe he'll look great. I don't know. But I don't even know what a fight against Vitor Belfort is even going to tell us about Oscar coming back. Other than, look, now it's a real fight. It's not an exhibition. They're actually going about it. That's the way it's supposed to go. But I just say scrap it, man. Put Vitor back in there with the real Tarzan or whatever the hell they were going to do with that. I don't really see the purpose in doing that fight other than, hey, he's making his comeback. This is what we got for you, Oscar. You're going to get a little sweat in against a former MMA champion. Look, Vitor's a scary guy. I guess I can't rule it out that maybe he lands something big on Oscar. Oscar has been out of commission for a long, long time. But it just doesn't really do a whole lot for me, the fight. It doesn't get my jellies going. Canelo Alvarez versus Oscar De La Hoya does. And I don't think I would believe, because normally I'd want to say, hey, the prime guy fight in his prime, fight other prime guys. For whatever reason, this fight with Caleb Plant's not happening. And I don't necessarily see, if it's not going to happen with him, I have a hard time imagining that it's going to bridge to take on Jermall Charlo. I have a hard time believing that it's going to, you know, end up in him back in his zone taking on Demetrius Andrade. Although that would be a fun one because him and Andrade had a nice back and forth the last time. So I think rightly promoted between that because of the viral, get the F out of here, get the F out of here. That was really great. And I really think if there's a time that they could go in that direction of fighting on Demetrius Andrade, this would be the time. But I do think that Demetrius Andrade is such a good boxer skill set wise that there's a little bit of worry, probably from Canelo's side. Should I take on Demetrius Andrade, or is that a little bit dangerous? Is that too much of playing with fire? I don't know. You can answer that for yourself. I don't even know where Andrade goes from here to get an opponent that, you know, will get him the credibility. It's tough for him right now because nobody wants to fight him. They put everything under the sun to say, hey, we're not going to fight Demetrius. But also, you know, I don't know what the win is that Demetrius can put on his resume that will make them want to fight him. I don't know where that answer lies. I do know that if we're going to do something in the interim, And he's already done one wacky fight this year. You know, he's fought Callum Smith, fought the Turkish Wolf, fought Billy Joe Saunders. Okay, we can get a little weird here. It's not like we can say he hasn't done anything. You know, Billy Joe Saunders, he had a piece of the crown. Let him fight. Let him get in there with Oscar. I mean, why not? We're doing such crazier things in this fight. You know, this week I saw a story of Riddick Bowe versus Lamar Odom. All sanctity in the sport has just gone out the window. You know, Jake Paul is fighting Tyron Woodley. There are no rules anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that will... After we saw the success of Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., and people saw how much thirst there was for nostalgia and freak fights, I just feel like in boxing, everything kind of went out the window as far as what the possibilities are, what kind of out-of-the-box thinking you need to have to make these types of events happen. And, you know, say the same thing about Logan versus Floyd. And I think in some ways you can say it about Manny versus Errol. I think that, you know, there's not a lot of conventional thinking going on right now. And I think in some ways that's good. And I think for a guy like Canelo, who's even at his fairly young age, has done a whole hell of a lot. Let's get a little bit weird. Let's get a little bit weird and do him versus Oscar. And, you know, Oscar talks all this game. Let's see if he says yes. And if you're Triller, you know, you want, like, you're talking about, I don't know if they got the dough to do this. They just seem like the appropriate company to do this. And if they did, you do this, and you have all that lead up, and then you have Teofimo Lopez and George Campos at every possible press conference on the way in and say, hey, this is when this fight is happening. And now we have some kind of a lead up to them and their real venture into boxing outside of this, showcase thing that they're doing at MSG. I don't know. I saw it this week and I was like, ah, huge bummer. We're not getting Canelo versus Caleb Plant. And I saw the Oscar De La Hoya press conference this week, Vitor Belfort. And I'm just like, why are we doing Oscar De La Hoya versus Vitor Belfort? It seems strange to me. Why don't we just jump in, you know, full two feet right into the pool. Canelo versus Oscar De La Hoya. Let's get wacky with it. Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Towen's Fight Show here with you on 790 The Ticket. Getting a little bit of UFC 265. That is coming up next week. We have ourselves a pay-per-view as Derek Lewis is fighting Cyril Gane for the interim heavyweight championship of the world. Why? I don't know. I can't answer it. I don't understand why we're doing this. I don't understand why we don't have the actual heavyweight champion defending his belt. I'm curious to see what the tenor is this week for this fight, because it is essentially an interim title that is being put on the line because the champion wants more money or the champion isn't happy with the promotion. It's not an injury. Francis isn't hurt. He's not recovering from anything. He just won the belt. So what are we doing here? I'm curious to see what the whole point of it is. And there's been a lot of theories. Like, people have said, it's in Derek Lewis's hometown. It's in Houston. And don't get me wrong. This isn't an indictment on Derek or even Cyril Gane. It's not. I love Derek Lewis. He's one of my favorite heavyweights. He's awesome. He knocks people out. He is hilarious. So I wanted Derek Lewis to fight for the championship. I wanted him to fight against Francis Ngannou, even especially because of how their first fight was. Their first fight, we were so geeked up for it, and it was a garbage fight. It was terrible. It was one of the worst fights you'll ever see, but some weird factors in that, you know, Francis coming off the loss to Stipe, you know, both of them being such huge knockout artists. There seemed to be some jitters, some weird energy in that fight. Would it be different this time around? I think because of all the criticism they took that time around, yes, definitely, there probably would be. But you have a guy like Derek who definitely is deserving of a championship shot. Don't get me wrong. You know, you go and you go on the win streak that he's gone on and he's beaten the types of guys that he has in the way that he has. He's certainly deserving of a championship. But I don't understand the reason for doing it like this. And I'm curious to see how does the broadcast handle this? How does I think, you know, Derek's a good guy to have this week in that, you know, he's so funny. He's so personable. Doesn't matter for him. I think it's going to be water off a duck's back. And I think Cyril's just so new to everything. And he has the teammate tie to Francis that I don't think that those guys are going to be affected by the criticism. I don't think it's going to overwhelm them into how they perform or anything like that. But I also am going to be curious to see how it garners interest in things. Because I genuinely think, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about AJ, right? And UFC right now, as far as like the star power is concerned, is lacking, but there's a little bit of a buzz lack right now. It just, this has been a summer that, you know, we didn't get Francis Ngannou. We still don't know when John Jones is coming back. You know, there's been some fights that have been scrapped for Rona purposes and things like that. But mostly, you have Francis, who I genuinely think is the best thing the UFC has at a star that's outside of the realm of Conor McGregor right now. I think Kamaru's starting to get some of that respect. So, you know, we'll see what it's going to be like when he fights Colby again coming up in November. That was announced this week that Colby Covington versus Kamaru Usman is going to be back as a championship fight, and that is going to be at UFC. Let me get the number for you, ass, so we can all count down to it at the right time. Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman, their rematch is going to be in November, UFC 268, which is also going to have Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje. I mean, that's a hell of a fight. 266 is going to be a hell of a card. So they got that going on. This one is just in a weird spot, man. And unfortunately, you know what also didn't help this week for UFC 265? We got the news this week that Amanda Nunes, she is out. She got COVID-19. So we wish the GOAT a speedy recovery and hope that all is well with Amanda and that she can come back soon and that she can be healthy and be able to take on Juliana Peña, because I was actually looking forward to that fight. I really was. I thought that Amanda was going to win, but I do think that if anybody was going to do some convincing this week and talk up a fight, I think Juliana was going to be the one to do it. And it's still a fine card. It's still got some good matches on it. Jose Aldo versus Pedro Munhoz. Chiesa Vicente Luque is a fun fight. Song Yadon Casey Kenny is a good fight. So I'm not dogging the card. I think it's an okay card. It's just, it's not, it doesn't reek of, hey, this deserves $70. You know what I mean? So for me, I just think that, if you're a fan and this is going to be one of those, you know, one of those months where you skip it on the ESPN Plus, I don't blame you. I think that the UFC has been coming pretty strong with their pay-per-views lately, but this one is just weird, and it feels like it's happening for all the wrong reasons. You know, Francis not being active in the championship picture for no good reason is just so strange, man. Because you knew John, like, look, the John Jones thing, all right, I hear you out there. It's a little bit with John Jones holding out for that big time payday for heavyweight. With the UFC, in some ways I could get the UFC being annoyed with John Jones. You know, they've been through a lot of crap with John Jones and all that. With Francis, they haven't. And I just think that he has the potential to be as close to what you had with Conor as anybody. I think that he has the look of the scariest man on the planet. He has the aura of the baddest man on the planet. Maybe from their standpoint, they want to see it a little bit more. You know, they want to see what he's like against everybody, not just, you know, one flash in the pan. But it's just so odd. And it's odd that this has happened now with a couple of heavyweights. This has happened because, look, if Derek Lewis were to become interim champion, and then, you know, I don't know, let's just say France never comes, Derek Lewis will be probably the most personable heavyweight in a long time, because you've had, I guess DC has. DC was a really personable champion. So I'll scrap that take. But, you know, with Francis and Stipe, like, they're not the most talkative dudes in the world, but Francis, I think, is a lot more charismatic than Stipe is. But they had issues with Stipe, too. You know, Stipe, there was always, like, you know, he'd be holding out for a long time, and, you know, would there be reasons, and all of a sudden he'd be a little disgruntled against the UFC, and then all of a sudden we'd see him back again. And now it feels like we're kind of doing this again with Francis. I don't know, man. It's just, it's a bit of a bummer. Now, as far as the matchup's concerned, Derek Lewis versus Cyril Gane, I mean, you know, this feels like two clashes of styles. I think that as far as Cyril's going to go, he's going to go try and take down Derek Lewis. He's going to try and frustrate him. We saw him do this to Jairzinho Rozenstruik, and I think that Derek's way more well-rounded than Jairzinho. Jairzinho is probably like maybe where Derek was a couple of years ago. I think Derek has added some kicks to his arsenal. He looks in a little bit better shape. Strong as all hell. So I think he's a little bit bigger, I believe, than Jairzinho is. If memory serves correct, he's Derek's 6'3", 263. And Jairzinho is 6'2", 254. So, yeah, Derek's a little bit bigger. Might be a little bit harder to take down. Just a little bit more well-rounded than Jairzinho Rozenstruik was. But that was the key to success for Cyril. He's had that path. He did it against Volkov, too. You know, he's knocked out Junior Dos Santos, who definitely was on his last legs. But look, it's a guy who's made a very, very big impression very, very early on in his career. With Derek, you know, he did just knock out Curtis Blaydes, who I think a lot of people probably regard as one of the better wrestlers in the division. And he's got absolute hammers. So while I think Cyril maybe he's got confidence in his game, and he's certainly well-rounded, you know, he can't match the experience to what Derek's been. I don't think Derek's going to be shook by the moment. He's already been there and fought for the championship or whatever version you want to call this. It still is for a belt. So, you know, he had that when he took on Daniel Cormier. You know, he's been in there in some crazy wars before. I just don't think that stage is going to get to him. With Cyril, I don't know. And it's going to be a very, very pro Derek Lewis crowd, too. I mean, he's the hometown guy coming in there. So Cyril's going to have that stuff to deal with, too. I could see that shaking him a little bit and it being a little bit of a too much too soon. It's a very fast track getting the fight for an interim belt or any belt in 10 fights. That's crazy. It's crazy, crazy fast. And I think we saw that with Francis, you know, these guys being, you know, former teammates. I think we saw that it was a very fast track for Francis, and that he had a little bit of those deer in headlights once he got to that championship, that first championship fight. So, you know, I just think that for me, I'm going to go with Derek Lewis to win the fight. This feels like it's all set up for him. I think that he's been rolling. I think that he's got the experience. I think the hometown edge is going to help him. I see this in a spot where, you know, he's going to try and catch Cyril with something big early and finish this early. But we've seen with Derek, you know, Derek's one of those rare guys. Like if he doesn't get you early, he's not one of those guys where you necessarily get worn down and he still can't get you late. Like, you look at a lot of his second round knockout, his last two fights. We know about the infamous Volkov one where he won with 10 seconds left. He's gone the distance plenty of times, like, and won fights. So he's not a guy that necessarily just burns the gas tank and is not the same fighter. He's not that type of slugger, which is rare. You know, you think of a lot of these sluggers and you think, oh, they're only going to be good if they get you in the first round. And that's not the case with him. He's very, very talented and can maintain that for a long, long time. And I think he's going to be holding the belt. And I hope that this leads to all the stuff with Francis being settled. And look, Derek Lewis winning an interim belt, that'll be really, really cool. It'll have a cool moment for sure. I just think that it's happening for the wrong reasons, and it's unfortunate that's happening under these circumstances. But you know me, I'll still be tuning in tomorrow. I'll still be tuning in next week. We'll still be geeked up for it in a big, big way. And we'll see what happens with it, man. I think that it's unfortunate we're not getting the GOAT. We don't get to see her. But, you know, Derrick Lewis is a fan favorite. I think a lot of people will be feeling really good for him if he does have some kind of belt wrapped around his waist come the end of next week. If Cyril does it, you know, if Cyril's the guy, then, you know, you kind of have this this two clash of the Titans, the new blood just infusing and taking over the UFC heavyweight division. And again, that all it all stems from, look, whatever happens after this week, they got to get right with figuring out what's left with the heavyweight picture, okay? Because we know that we have Francis on top. He's the dude, okay? Stipe, not happy with his contract, not really being mentioned in the title picture. John Jones is just off sitting to the side, waiting to come to heavyweight, but nobody knows when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. Dana White's just kind of dismissing it. One of these two guys next week is going to be the interim champion. I imagine whoever loses maybe is going to fight Stipe. I guess that's the way they would probably go. And then John just continues to sit idly by and figure out whenever the hell he wants to go in. But some stuff has to get cleaned up in heavyweight, and they got to figure out some stuff following next week's dominoes falling. And, you know, I don't think we're going to get a lot of answers next week from Dana, because I think that he's going to do a lot of blasting of Francis Ngannou. I think he's going to do that. And I think that you're going to get the whole, if you don't want to fight, don't fight. You're going to get a lot of that next week. And, you know, he'll just put his head down and motor on. And I don't think we're going to get any resolutions next week. You know, does he show up to the fight? Maybe that'd be a little bit of drama. Who knows? But, I wish he was defending his belt. That's what I wish. That's our show for this week, everybody. If you missed any of it, you guys can go download the podcast on the Audacy app, AUDACY. And you guys can get some clips, got some great fight interviews coming this week for you on the YouTube page. So go look up Tobin Show on YouTube. Please subscribe there, like, give comments, all that type of stuff. It helps grow the channel. It helps spread the word about the channel, and would appreciate that support there. Talk to you guys same time, same place next week. Everybody have a great week, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.